Okay, so that we're on Frontline Sunday number 3, Whatever You Do. And the frontline basics are that all about the gathered and scattered idea. But in a sense, the idea about gathered and scattered has got a slightly different connotation now to the coronavirus. There's now perhaps a reluctance to gather for some people, and people who are quarantined or self-isolating are scattered in the way that they perhaps didn't want to. We've got the slide there, yes, the slide, you can see the different colours. It now looks a little bit more like, as we are out in the community, we have a risk of infecting people around us, really, rather than influencing, as we thought about it last week. So a slightly different take there on our slide. But the front line is where we spend our time, where we're interacting with people who don't yet know Jesus as Saviour. And in week one with Andy, she spoke about all the difference in the world, how God has chosen us and equipped us to make a difference where we are, each one of us. Week two, last week from Graham, he spoke about wherever we are. God knows our situation and the plan and the purpose he has for us, and he doesn't make mistakes. So wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, even if things change for us, God knows all about it and he knows what he's doing. And this week, whatever you do, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. God has you in that place, in that job, in that situation for a reason, and he has made you salt and light in that situation. So it's pretty clear to us that we may have created an artificial dividing line between being a Christian on Sundays in church and being a Christian away from church every other day of the week. That shouldn't be so. There shouldn't be a difference. We are to be Christ-like disciples on Sundays in church and Christ-like disciples on the other 6 days of the week as well when we're not in church. We've discovered that on Sundays when we are together, we are gathered, the church gathered, and on the other days of the week, we are the church scattered, but we are still church, and we are still Christ-like disciples as well. We understand that but putting it into practice isn't all that straightforward. The first century disciples didn't make a distinction between being Christ-like in church and being Christ-like not in church. But for us, when we're not on duty as Christians, there's a temptation to behave just like the rest of the world. So there's no distinctive, no difference. There's a temptation not to be the salt and light we're supposed to be, and that in that way not make a difference. But we're going to be looking at some verses in Colossians 3. So if you want to open up your Bibles and turn to there. Paul's telling us how to become more and more like Christ. And he's specifically talking about church situations, about family situations, and about work situations. So I'm going to be reading from Colossians 3, verses 10 to 24, but in bite-sized chunks, concentrating particularly on the last three verses where Paul's talking about how we behave in the workplace. Now, I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible, so mine will sound a little bit different to yours. So, reading from verse 10. You are living a brand new kind of life that's continually learning more and more of what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within you. In this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and he is equally available to all. Since you have been chosen by God, who's given you this new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Most of all, let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. So none of this should be a surprise to us. This is how our relationships need to be worked out as Christians. So you have, in Christ, you have a brand new kind of life. You are changed. You are not what you were before. And the goal is for us to be more and more like Christ. It's the sole goal for disciples, to model ourselves on Jesus. And there should be no distinctions in the church between different types of people as there would be outside the church. Nationality, race, education, or social position. This is a challenge for us too. So we are a diverse mix of different types of people. But are there barriers between us, as there might be out in the outside world? We are all chosen by God. This is very important to remember, that God has no favourites. He has all of your pictures up on his fridge, and he loves us all equally. And because he's loved us with deep love and concern, we should love others. We know that. Paul picks out tender-hearted mercy and kindness as examples of our attitude to everyone. Recognising how difficult it can be to be kind, he follows up with choosing to suffer quietly and patiently rather than trying to make a good impression. We're not trying to operate by the world's standards. What he's suggesting is extremely countercultural because it's very hard to do and it goes against our basic human nature. So the key to this is to be gentle and ready to forgive, never holding grudges. Again, this is not the world's way of working. We find it very hard to forgive when we are the injured party. And he says finally that the church will stay together in perfect harmony if we let love guide our life. Is this the classic picture of church life where everyone works together in perfect harmony as love rules our every thought and every action? Try to remember that when the worship band is playing the song you didn't like for the third week running. Not in your case, of course, we're being extra kind to you. And the person in front of you takes the last chocolate biscuit. Just remember, kindness and mercy. Anyway, that section we understand. We are to behave in a Christ-like way when we are in church towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. So then he moves on verses 15 to 17, how to behave, again, how to behave in church situations towards Christian brothers and sisters. So reading from verse 15. Let the peace of heart that comes from Christ be always present in your hearts and lives, for this is your responsibility and privilege as members of his body, and always be thankful. Remember what Christ taught and let his words enrich your lives and make you wise. Teach them to each other and sing them out in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus and come to him into the presence of God the Father to give him your thanks. So more instructions about how to behave in church, and it's standard stuff, isn't it? Letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. That's what we've all just been talking about. That deserves a sermon or even a sermon series on its own. If we can sense God's peace and decide by whether we have it or not between different courses of action, we will be wise, we will be self-controlled, we will behave with balance and perspective, but it's easy to say and not easy to do. It takes a lifetime of practice. Being thankful is so important. It's hard to be offended and angry if we maintain an attitude of thankfulness to God for everything that he gives us, whether it seems good or bad at the time. And of course, respect for God's word and teaching. I mean, we know we should be always keeping our Bibles handy and reading God's word, but it's easy when you get distracted just to let it slip. Singing God's word in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Notice he makes a distinction between singing God's word and singing spiritual songs. We tend to like the type of spiritual songs where we sing about ourselves, don't we, rather than singing about God. Singing with thankful hearts, whether you like the songs and the band or not. Singing with thankful hearts. Most importantly, we are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, always and not just on Sundays. We do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he moves on in verse 18 to 21 with advice for the family. So from verse 18, you wives, submit to your husbands, for that is what the Lord has planned for you. And you husbands must be loving and kind to your wives and not bitter against them or harsh. You children must always obey your fathers and mothers, for that pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't scold your children so much that they become discouraged and quit trying. Now, I don't want to get tied up here in discussions about what Paul meant when he talked about relationships between husbands and wives, but it's clear that the same guidelines about Christ-like behaviour apply just as much within family relationships as they do in church. Paul probably needed to make those points because standards of behaviour within families then were probably at that time decidedly below the levels of one anothering that Paul was trying to teach them. Assume that all the Christ-like behaviour that Paul recommended was to be applied equally in the family situation as it was in church. Then he moves on to the workplace. He's talking about slaves and masters, but we'll adapt it, talking about the workplace. So verse 22. You slaves must always obey your earthly masters, not only trying to please them when they are watching you, but all the time. Obey them willingly because of your love for the Lord and because you want to please him. Work hard and cheerfully at all you do, just as though you were working for the Lord and not merely for your masters. Remembering that it's the Lord Christ who's going to pay you, giving you your full portion of all he owns. Here's the one you're really working for. So, and lastly here, Paul addresses the way slaves were to behave towards their masters. This is not really a true equivalent of the 21st century workplace, as slaves were literally owned by their masters and could be treated in any way that owners thought fit. There were no health and safety rules to protect them. And many, many slaves would have been treated very badly by their masters. Nevertheless, Paul says that slaves are to obey willingly when they are observed and when they are not, as though they were working for the Lord himself. So let's spend a little while unpicking these few verses. And I'm going to use J.P. Leaf and Company, our own company, as an example, not as an example necessarily of doing it right, but just to draw out some of the points about what's involved. Now, you might not all know that John and I are financial advisors, and we have Dick here who used to work with us, who can keep me straight on these points, so I'm not over exaggerating. But on the first subject of good behaviour, I'd love to be able to say that I pray every day for staff and for clients and for the people at the King Centre that I interact with, but I'm afraid that wouldn't be honest. I'm afraid I don't. It would be nice, but I do pray, of course, when situations are particularly difficult, but I can't honestly say I pray every day. But honesty and integrity are absolutely a prerequisite for financial services, and nobody wants to employ a financial advisor that they think is going to be dishonest and lacking in integrity. So that has to be at the very heart of who we are as people, and not just as in our business practices. It has to go through everything. So standards of excellence. I can't say that we never make mistakes, but we do strive all the time just to finish a job well. There are situations where, obviously, we get paid for the work we do, but there are situations where to get the right result for the customer, you have to spend many, many more hours sorting something out than you actually get paid for, and that's so important. So we don't just give up halfway through, that we go above and beyond just to make sure people get the right result. So next, avoiding bad behaviour. Yes, the times when the telephone system goes down, or the computer isn't working, or you thought you saved that report and then you can't find it, When we make mistakes and we have to apologize to clients or whatever, when clients are being difficult, all those things are very frustrating. And those are the situations where people can see whether whether you are a Christian or not, how you behave in the difficult situations. There was a time recently when I was phoning up a distribution company because something had gone wrong with something I'd ordered for my daughter down in Swindon. It hadn't been delivered, and I went onto their phone line. And the first thing you get before you get put through to somebody is this rather long description of a discussion of how you should be very polite when you get to the person on the other end, an understanding of how they know how frustrated you are because you wouldn't be phoning if you didn't have a problem. And actually it went on for long enough that it probably would have calmed most people down, but it says something, doesn't it, about their business practices if that's the first thing you have to hear when you phone up, that you have to be very calm when you eventually get to speak to somebody. Then there's valuing everybody that we deal with. Is there a difference in the way I treat the person who serves me in the cafe compared to the way I would treat a client? That's something that somebody else will have to say because I don't know. But Jake's smiling because he knows he works in the cafe. Human resources, the HR that now replaces what we used to call personnel, relationship with staff. Now we like to enjoy ourselves at our company, so we make sure that we celebrate everybody's birthday with lunches. We have summer outings, and we have a special Christmas lunch that we all cook together. Now that is very important to us because we want to enjoy working there as well as, you know, have a nice atmosphere for the staff. So we always wanted to have organic growth rather than going out to recruit specific people. They just kind of turned up, and that was true of Dick. He just kind of turned up about 12 years ago, and we thought, oh, okay, he can stay. He always brought nice cheese to the Christmas lunches, so made it all worthwhile. But we wanted to create the atmosphere that we wanted to work with. In a sense, it was very selfish, you know, to have that family atmosphere so we would enjoy coming to work and it wasn't too hard and we weren't creating pressure. But of course, not everyone is fortunate enough to work for themselves and create their own environment. Many people will be working in toxic workplaces with horrible bosses and unpleasant workmates, or even dangerous conditions. Dangerous to your physical health or even your mental health. Now, we could talk about patience, grace, and being forgiving, but it's important that we are mindful of our own well-being and our own mental health. We're not required to endure abuse or unlawful conditions. It's probably best not to stay in those situations, whether you are in the right or not. But we can support each other, in that the small groups are a good place for that, supporting each other through these difficult times. And I think you had a chance, if your small groups are doing the study material, to actually pray for each other on your front lines. And they're not all workplaces. That's what we're thinking about today. But where you have difficulty on your front lines. We often tend just to pray about our personal lives or our health or our families. But the other parts of life where we work or where we spend our time are also worth praying for, worth supporting each other. So just a few questions for you now at the end. Are we living a whole life or a segmented life? Are we behaving like Christians when we're not in church, at home, and at work? Is there any difference between us and non-Christians if we're seen outside church? If you see me in the pub or in a restaurant, will you be able to tell that I'm a Christian, or am I behaving just the same as everybody else? What is an acceptable way of being a witness in the workplace? I know some of you will be working in places where there are rules that prevent you speaking about your faith. So how does that work? But as I said, the small groups are probably the place for for praying for each other on our front lines. And as we said at the beginning, the front lines in these troubled times are changing, and even more reason for praying for each other. So we're coming to the end now. I'm using the prayer that the front lines people have prepared for us for now. So if you think you would like somebody to pray for you at the end, Gwen and Pat have volunteered to go into the prayer corner at the end if you would like prayer, or you can come to the front if you're having particular difficulties on your front line and you want somebody to support you and stand with you. But let's pray. Lord, as we scatter to our front lines, we thank you for the many opportunities to do good in the world. Whatever the tasks of our week, wherever we are, we pray that you will work through them and that they will bear fruit for your kingdom. May we do all things attentive to your presence and with a heart set on working at them for you, first and foremost. Amen.